Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. It is a wonderful day, brisk and cool here in the Pacific Northwest. Wherever you are, I hope you're enjoying yourself immensely. But I'd like for you to sit back and relax, and we're going to be listening to a delightful lady and her stories about something that I have every day, and that is tea. And she's got the most wonderful book called Tea Bliss, Infuse Your Life with Health, Wisdom, and Contentment. My guest is Teresa Chung, and she is in England, and we're just delighted, Teresa, to have you with us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's absolutely wonderful. Now, where are you in the UK?
I live in Windsor.
In Windsor. Well,
yeah.
I'm going to just give one of your many quotes that you have in the book, and it's done by Garrick out of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And it goes, pour me a little more tea, would you, dear? I can drink it until it comes out of my ears. And yeah. My husband would say, Donna, that fits you, to a T.
You're a tea fanatic.
All right, so pun is totally intended. Yes, I love it. Cold or hot, it's wonderful. How did you come to become so interested in this? Because you've authored more than a dozen books. One of them, I understand, is all about chocolate, which is absolutely awesome.
Well, it's my trinity of treats. I mean, we started with coffee several years ago, looking at taking time out with a cup of coffee, and then that led on to chocolate, and then we finished with, which I think is the most beautiful book of the series, with tea, because of the illustrations that are done and inspired by the Japanese tea ceremony. And that tea drinking is starting to be much more popular than it has been for years.
Oh, very much so. And you cover so many things in your book. You cover how tea is healing, how you can fix it. You give so many delightful aspects. And I'm going to start off just quoting right from your book. A cup of tea is the perfect excuse to step back and savor life as it should be lived, moment by moment. Finding peace in a bowl of tea isn't new. The sublime art of tea drinking has been practiced in Asia for centuries. Do you have any idea when tea first came about? I mean, give us a little bit of history about tea.
I mean, it's timeless. I mean, obviously in Asia, China, Japan, that's where it started with the wonderfully beautiful Japanese tea ceremony, which is all about the quest to find the spiritual in ordinary, everyday things, finding the spiritual, your soul, in a cup of tea. That's obviously the origin, but it didn't actually start in Europe until about the 18th century, when actually there was a duchess called Anna, Duchess of Bedford, would you believe, who started the practice in the 18th century in England, because the people in England were only having two meals a day, breakfast and then a big meal at night. And she broke that by inviting people round at about 5 o'clock for tea and cakes. And then from there it spread from Europe, and now it's everywhere, but it's centuries old. It's probably one of the oldest drinks ever, and I wouldn't be able to tell you about exactly whoever made the first cup of tea, because that's lost in the mists of time, but way, way back.
You give so much historical information throughout the book. So not only it's pleasant to read, but very, very informative as well. And you
talk about
the tea plantations. Talk about them, and, you know, they're all in different parts of the world, obviously.
And many
of them in Asia. But how long does it take for the bushes to grow? And what parts of the bush do they use for tea?
I mean, all the details are in the book. I mean, the thing is, different types of tea, and they're all made in very, very different ways. So to discuss them all would take forever, and it's a very, very complicated process. the various types of tea you want to drink, and found all over the world.
Well, I know you mentioned that it took about 5 years for the bushes to grow.
Yes, yes, it's years. It's years. It takes an awful lot of time, plus the processing of it, and to be made and to be shipped. As I said, all the details in the book, I couldn't off the top of my head do it because it's such a complicated process.
I was surprised to find out, though, that in reviewing the material that you had here, that the actual branches are used, the coarser leaves, and there's different processes, like for the instant tea. And
yes, all sorts of processes. And I said, it's a green tea made different from black tea, a variety of different processes. It's fascinating. It really was. I mean, in researching the book, I uncovered so much that I didn't know, because you just take it for granted when you have a cup of tea, the work that goes into it and how much there is involved and how many people along the line are involved in making it until it ends up in your teacup.
Now, the primary...
It's more a kind of a spiritual book, really, than that there is information about the processing and the manufacturer, but it's more about the tea way of life, how to cultivate the tea state of mind, and which is all about the quest to find the spiritual and ordinary everyday things. And that's what we were really trying with the book, was to make... Because there's so many books about tea and you know, because it's such a popular drink, but it was trying to sort of look at it from the point of view of the Japanese tea ceremony and why it is such a spiritual drink. Why is it the tea way of life? And that's what fascinated us so much, was to find out about that. And the more we uncovered, the more we could see, yes, this is so simple. And we were able to distill everything down into 10 or 11 principles for the tea way of life to make it easy for people to understand in Europe and the West about the tea way of life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and
that was what fascinated us so much. I mean, why is a humble cup of tea, why is it elevated to such heights as it is over in Asia? What is this Japanese tea ceremony? It takes hours, if you've ever seen one. It can take 4 to 5 hours simply serving tea. What is all that about? And the spiritual significance of everything that they do in the tea ceremony about the attitude of respect you have for your guests, the humility, the taking time to focus right on the moment about when you're drinking. Because that's the wonderful thing about a cup of tea, is that you really take your time to focus and pay attention. And it's all this, and it was so interesting to sort of to draw all that out and explain it, not in a way that's too spiritual and mumbo-jumbo for a lot of people, but to explain it so that you can actually understand, so that every time you kick off your shoes and you have a cup of tea, you can enter that meditative state, and it can really benefit your life. And it becomes so much more than a cup of tea. You begin to see it as so much more. Again, finding the spiritual in the ordinary, which is really what the book is all about.
And I think that is so true in so many levels, because tea for me is just the staff of life in so many respects. I have my full pot first thing every morning, you know, about 5:30 in the morning.
5:30, that's early.
Yes, with my pot of tea and whatever little bit of something I have for breakfast. And it's just
you can't rush. You can't rush a cup of tea, you see.
No.
When you make a cup of tea, however stressed you are, if you're thinking about the day ahead, you have to just take your time to think about the water, pouring it in, getting it right, not too long, steeping it for not too long, not too little. You have to actually sort of forget about what your day ahead is and actually focus in the moment, and that's part of the value of it as well.
You have, right at the very front of your book, and you've been mentioning this, 10 nourishing blends for health, happiness, and harmony. I'd like to share it with my audience. Number one, discover the right measure. And you reflect that to give what you want to receive. 2, boiling is not always best. Put
yes.
away your to-do list at some time every day. 3, know what's in the water. Become aware of your unique talents and potential. 4, choose the right teapot. Develop a
yes.
sound philosophy. 5, make sure the taste is evenly distributed. Find the middle way. 6, time is of the essence. Enjoy today, but keep an eye on tomorrow. 7, make and serve a delicious cup of tea. Put your heart into everything you do. 8, healing with tea. Bring healing into your life. 9, meditate with tea. Find your path to inner peace. And 10, cultivating the tea mind.
Yeah.
So and there are your, you know, there we are with the 10 points. Let's talk for a moment about the healing capacity with tea, because it is absolutely essential for people to know that there are teas, and maybe many of my audience do know this, but I know many, many times that certain teas have been absolutely marvelous. If I have been really agitated, really upset, peppermint tea does wonderful things because,
yes,
you know, it helps the digestion. So let's talk a little bit about that. You talk about the herbal tea remedies, and, you know, if someone really wants to have absolutely awesome tea, grow your own mint, peppermint, whatever you like in the way of mint, and it is tremendous in tea. What we like to do during the summer when we have our sun-brewed tea, we'll take our mint leaves and we'll crush them between our fingers and then put them in the tea.
Mm.
What a marvelous, marvelous refreshing.
It's wonderful for indigestion and
for digestion. On a hot day. It's just marvelous. So let's talk about tea therapy a little bit.
Tea therapy, well, any kind of cup of tea is wonderful tea therapy, as I said, because it gives you time out to connect with your soul and to look at live in the here and now. But, I mean, there are, of course, herbal tea remedies. You know, one of my favorite is chamomile, which I think is a lot of people's favorites because it's so soothing and calming and relaxing. And fennel tea, too, is great for digestive problems. Ginger tea, you know, if you've got motion sickness. I mean, there's a whole world out there of wonderful herbal tea remedies as well. But, I mean, I still go back to the basics of black and green tea, really, which is mm-hmm. where my heart is. For the book, but I mean, there's wonderful, wonderful amount of variety out there, especially the calming influences and the wonderful, delicious flavors you can get.
One of the flavors that is a favorite of mine has been for years because it's very distinctive is Earl Grey tea, and I was really surprised.
Yeah, I'm an Earl Grey tea fanatic. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I mean, I just really was amazed that it's very good to have after a meal because the oil that is in the tea.
Exactly, yes.
Helps digestion.
Yes, it helps digestion because it stimulates production of stomach enzymes and helps break down the food. And if it's drunk after a meal, it can really help your digestion. But again, of course, with tea, it's everything in life, and the book does stress that. If you're going to drink 6 or 7 cups of tea, it's not a good idea. Moderation in all things, and it's 3 to 4 cups of tea is ideal a day, no more than that.
Well, I'm afraid I'd break all the rules because I drink.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I just love tea. Now, there is a tea you mentioned in this book called Pu'er tea, and I may not be pronouncing it correctly. It's Pu-Erh. I've never heard of that tea.
It's an ideal health drink for all ages, really, and it's fairly new, I mean, for us over here in the UK and in the US, I think, but it's very refreshing and energizing. It's not one of my favorites, but it is at the moment very, very popular for people who want to be very healthy. It really is an up and coming tea if you can describe it in that way.
Now, is this a special combination of tea that comes from Asia? Where did this Pu'er tea come from?
Asia, yes.
Okay, is this an old Asian recipe?
To be quite honest, I'm really actually not sure. I mean, I know it sounds terrible since I've written a tea book, but as I said, it was more emphasizing the spiritual and the healing qualities of tea for a better way of life. But where each specific tea comes from, it's not that kind of book, really. It's not a technical tea book. It's, it's telling you how to lead your life according to the Japanese tea ceremony and to find the spiritual in the ordinary. So to talk about, I'm not really quite sure where tea comes from, I'm afraid.
Well, that's fine. I just thought I'd ask because it's the first time I had come across that.
Now, yes, but it is starting to become very popular, actually. Because I do a lot of health writing as well, and I've heard it mentioned an awful lot of times, actually, along with green tea, which is your favorite immune booster, which
mm-hmm.
so many people love. Also great for losing weight, green tea. All these studies coming out now, that 4 cups of green tea without milk a day are thought to help lose weight.
Yes, now, that's a custom in the U.S. We typically don't have milk with our tea, but I know
yes.
that the European tradition is milk with the tea.
No, it's not. I mean, it shouldn't really be drunk with tea. That's just, you know, individual taste. Neither sugar either. That kind of poisons the taste, but it's all individual.
Ah, there we go. So that's a myth that goes by the wayside, because I thought...
Yeah, the Chinese have always drunk it without milk.
Okay.
Although black tea does go better with milk, because it kind of it balances it out, because milk that simply doesn't settle comfortably with the light and fragrant Chinese and Japanese kinds of tea, but it does settle better with black tea.
Yes, and that's what I associated with more than any of the Asian teas per se, with the black tea, the typical black teas. That's what I always associated the milk with. You bring out information here with dill tea, how it can help upset stomach, indigestion, cough. I wasn't aware of that.
As I said, every person reacts differently to teas,
mm-hmm.
but these are some of its reputed benefits. So
yes.
It also stimulates, as a sedative, it's a blood and liver tonic, urinary tract infections as well, and sleep disorders, those kind of things, sore throat, fever, has many, many benefits.
One of the portions of your book is about tea and meditation. And
yes.
again, you've got so many wonderful, wonderful tidbits of information regarding the usefulness of herbal teas, and then so many different stories that are scattered through it. The meditation with tea, I really liked what James Burnett, an environmentalist, the president of Ecology Works, said. Inhale the sweet smell emanating from the tea as the hot water liberates its essence. Feel a growing sense of relaxation as the mind focus is drawn to the rhythmic movements of breath. Inhale the vital energy force. Exhale the energy of union with the universe. Allow yourself to fall gently into deep concentration on the space just following the exhale. Deeper and deeper as the universe expands, moving to translucent space that shimmers like a black pearl. In this moment, tea is brought to your lips by a slow, steady hand, a taste bittersweet as life itself. What a lovely way to talk about a hot beverage that can just in a moment relax you. I mean, you could do just exactly what he said anywhere, anytime, any place, and have that moment of meditation and quiet and soothe the busyness of the mind.
Exactly. I mean, a cup of tea is meditation in my point of view. I mean, the two are not different. I truly believe that people don't actually realize it, but when they are having a cup of tea and they are actually just meditating and doing themselves such a lot of good on a physical and a mental and spiritual and emotional level, because when you drink tea, there is peace. It requires you to pay attention to the moment. You can't rush the procedure, you know. And it's a gift you give to yourself, a cup of tea. And people may think, well, this is all a bit over the top, a cup of tea and meditation. But really, I mean, the poet Blake saw the world in a grain of sand, and why not see it in a cup of tea as well? As I said, it is a way. I've said it so many times, it is a way of finding the spiritual in the ordinary. And when you can do that, you have the secret to a happy life.
Oh, I'd agree.
And a fulfilling life. If you can find the magic and the spiritual in the ordinary, an ordinary cup of tea, and that is the basis, really, of the Japanese tea ceremony. If anyone ever gets a chance to witness it, it's the most beautiful, humbling, respectful, reverential thing to watch, ceremony to watch. It really is stunningly beautiful. And really what they're honoring there is a cup of tea, but it is so, so much more than that. It's basically life itself, and respect to others, and gratitude for the present moment, because basically that's really all we've got. It's right here, this moment right now. And that's what a humble cup of tea is reminding us. And as I said, it's a centuries-old ceremony, and it's such beautiful symbolism there that can really carry over into all areas of your life. I mean, if you can start with a cup of tea, you can start with you can move on to everything else in your life, that you begin to realize that nothing in your life is trivial, really. At the end of the day, we take so much for granted, but just to savor that moment, and that's a gift that tea gives you. You can see how much I love this cup of tea.
Well, of course. Now, again, your book I found so attractive and so interesting, and you even have a section on passiography. And I may not be pronouncing that correctly, so if I am mispronouncing...
Sorry, what was that? It's just the line's a little bit unclear because I couldn't quite hear that.
Okay, looking ahead with passiography.
Oh, yes.
Touch on that, because
yep.
What is passiography?
Well, it's basically tea leaf reading, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and this is something I can remember the very first experience I had with that many years ago with a Scottish woman who had her own special pot and her own special cup for her tea leaf reading. She was a sweetheart. I just loved her. She was a tall woman, over 6 feet in height, and she had a...
Really? Did she give you any good advice?
Not really, but that's beside the point. She
yes.
was just a love. I loved her dearly. She was just a sweetheart. She didn't want me to have any kind of pain and suffering in my life, and I knew that when she was doing the tea leaves. But talk to us a little bit about the tea leaves, because you talk about this, and it's so much fun.
It is so much fun. It is. I mean, it's basically letting your imagination run away with you, really. It's looking at the shapes that the tea leaves form, and basically using free association, what images come to your mind straight away, you know, because those clumps will form symbols that you can read. Sometimes the shapes will be clear, like you'll get triangles, which is a typical sign of good karma if you're looking at point of view from a tea leaf reader. Squares, for example, are a need for caution. You can even sometimes find the letters, initials of people's names, numbers. It's a form of divination that's again been used for centuries. I'm not altogether sure whether there's any truth in it, but it's great fun.
It is fun, and you touch on that. So you have...
Sometimes, you know, people think that, I mean, there should be lightness in the spiritual as well. Sometimes it can all get too serious. And again, going back to the Japanese tea ceremony, there is a bit of humor and lightness and gentleness. It's not all heavy serious, and, there should be time for fun in life as well. And that's hopefully what the book points out by drawing attention to it, because laughter also comes from the soul.
Yes, and I think because of our interaction with so many countries in the world, you know, there's always been a cultural diversity in the United
yes.
States, but I think because of transportation and communication, we have been able to become more comfortable with various cultural traditions. And high tea in England has always been a favorite with me, and I know most people enjoy it, and it gives you a chance to break away from the intensity of a day. Here in
yes.
the United States, we've started copying the European mode, which has been around for centuries, and that's of the little places, your little cafes. You know, we have our Starbucks and our Tully's and different places that have opened up so people can congregate together and visit and chat for all kinds of hours, and now they can hook up their computers, and this all, to me, brings together a sense of community because people have a place they can go to, and in Europe, this is something that was very common and has been for a lot of generations. So we're doing it now.
I mean,
there's a commonality that's flowing, I think, that's just delightful, that really is enhancing the love of tea on so many
it
levels.
It is wonderful to see, you know, does bring together the humble drink. I mean, it started with the coffee bars. You see people, you know, congregate any time of the day. There are people there, you are right, a wonderful uniting force. And now tea is starting to really, to catch up with coffee in terms of popularity, which is very exciting. And it is a time for people just to gather together and take time out, you know. And who hasn't had a chat with a friend over a cup of tea?
Well, that's optimum for me. I just love the whole deal about fixing the pot and putting out a pretty cup or two and just sharing it. There's something very, very relaxing about that. And I know people who love coffee, they often feel that way, but there's a different feel with the coffee.
It's more energetic. It has a slightly different feel, because when I was working on coffee a couple of years ago as well, it's a slightly more sort of busy, orientated feel. A little less spiritual than the tea, I felt. I mean, it has its positives too, but there's definitely, you're right, a different feel about the coffee culture to the tea culture.
Now, you have in your book a delightful section that talks about the preferred beverage for monks throughout the world, and you talk about the monks of the Chinese Chan sect of Buddhists that believe that the first cup of tea helped to keep a calm and clear mind while they sat in meditation, and the second cup helped them feel as if spirit was cleansed by the gentle rain. After a third cup, one can understand the nature of things. Gee, people used to say that about scotch. Now we're saying it about tea, and this is so old, we have no idea where it came from.
I know. And now, of course, we're discovering that, you know, they're right. I mean, there are so many good things in tea, vitamin C, flavonoids, antioxidants, vitamin B. There's so many good things, actually, that perhaps the monks didn't realize way back then. That it is actually doing you a power of good. Again, of course, it's not drunk into excess. Nothing in excess is good for you. But, you know, in moderation, it packs a powerful antioxidant punch. It really does. Boosting your immunity, your circulation, there's a lot of powerful nutrients in tea, especially green tea, which is the most healing tea of all.
Well, this book is not only pleasurable to read because of the beauty of the photography that you have.
Oh, that's Donna Linden at Red Wheeler. When I handed in the manuscript, you know, I had no idea when the photos came, what a stunning job they had done, because the book inspired them all to have a tea break at the publishers, which was lovely. Yes, it was wonderful, and they got inspired by it, and because the first two in the series were not illustrated like this, they were simply text, and these stunning photographs came. You're right. I mean, I can't take credit for that at all. That's Donna Linden. It's absolutely beautiful, isn't it? What she's done with it.
Oh, it is. It's just a pleasure.
A labor of love of the beautiful shots, and just mouth-watering, really.
Well, you've got so much good material in it. You've got a little bit of history. You've got how to read tea leaves. You've got the nutritional aspect with it. It just flows, and it's a delightful read. So it would make an absolutely fabulous gift for someone that loves tea. And, you know, it'd be fun just to have, if that person had a book club, it would be a wonderful just to discuss it because of all the different aspects of tea. But again, I think it makes a beautiful, beautiful book. Now, I would like to just say, before we close out, you have in the afterword of the book, you make the comment that modern physicists are beginning to discover that Western science and Eastern mysticism share a similar vision. In both scientific and mystical thought, we are indeed all connected in this great web of life. We share universal energy in every breath and every cup of tea. We are universal energy. And I just thought that was a wonderful comment for you to make in your book. I think there's so much more that people can read and enjoy. Do you have a website that people can go to? I know that you're in the UK, but... do you have a place where people want to find out more about you and your book?
That's in the process of being constructed, but right now it simply would be through Canary and Red Wheel, the publisher at the moment, and I do reply to anyone who contacts me via them.
Well, it has been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much, Teresa Cheung, for being
Thank you for having
guest.
Me. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Her wonderful book is called Bliss. Infuse your life with health, wisdom, and contentment, and a lot more. It is fascinating and delightful reading. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't you go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on BBSRadio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome. Welcome to the second part of the show. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do so. Here are the toll-free numbers for you to call. USA 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. If you're a first-time listener to the show, I'm so delighted you've been able to join us. And all I need is a first name or an initial. Give me a buzz and let me share with you what I perceive. After that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything, anything that you like. Okay, I'm an informational resource, by the way. I want to thank those of you that are sending me these wonderful stories and comments and points of information I just wanted to share with you today. I mean, it's just absolutely great. One of them came in from Debbie, and what Debbie said, Donna, I got this information, and I want to share this with you because I think it's important. And I said, great, I'll share it with my listeners. And she said, on the news the other night, we saw some information about a man named Brian. And Brian had pumped exactly 1 gallon of gas. Now, the price didn't match the cost of 1 gallon. It was higher. He went inside. He complained about being charged too much, and he got a refund. And there is a number on each pump that you can call and complain if you desire to do so. Now, this is what happened. Apparently, on April 24th, 2008, stopped at a BP gas station in Georgia. His truck's gas gauge was at a quarter of a tank. He used the mid-grade, which was priced at $3.71 per gallon. When his tank is at this particular point, a quarter of a tank, it takes somewhere around 14 gallons to fill it up. When the pump showed 14 gallons had been pumped, I began to slow it down, then to my surprise, it went to 15, then 16. I looked under my truck to see if there was gasoline being spilled, but there was none. It then showed 17 gallons had been pumped into my tank on the pump. It stopped at 18 gallons. He said, this was very strange to me. The tank on my truck only is 18 gallons. Or holds only 18 gallons. So he's a little bit confused. Then, on the evening news, he heard the report that one out of four gas stations had calibrated their pumps to show more gas had been pumped than a person actually got. So, here is the suggestion that this individual is passing on. Whatever grade of gasoline you are using, put exactly 10 gallons in your tank. Then take a look at the dollar amount, and if the dollar amount is not exactly 10 times the price of the fuel that you've chosen, you'll know somebody's playing around with the pumps. And he said in his case, he said the mid-grade was 371 and 9 tenths, so 371.9 per gallon. He said, my dollar amount for 10 gallons should have been $37.19. I wish I had checked the pump. Doesn't matter where you pump gas, check the 10-gallon price. So do the 10 gallons first, then look at it. If the price is what it's supposed to be, you know everything's cool. If you do find a state that is cheating, you contact the state agricultural department and direct your comments to the commissioner. Info is on the gas pump, so you can see them right there. You can copy the information off there. So I just thought I would share that. Also, something else that came to me, and I know about a couple of these businesses, and someone said companies who are just filed for bankruptcy. Hollywood Video, Levitt, Sharper Image, Performance, Team Freight, Linens and Things, Circuit City, Bed Bath, and Beyond. If you have gift cards, this person was saying, please be aware you want to use them sooner rather than later. And I'll tell you, that happened with us with a company called CompUSA. And they were purchased by someone else, and they went into a close down. And interestingly enough, now they're opening back up again. So that was a personal experience we had. So I just share that with you. I want to thank those of you that are sending me some good information that I really appreciated. And if you want to send me anything, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. But anyway, I want to thank Deb for sending that along to me because I think that that's good information. Also, oh, and don't forget, you can give me a buzz if you'd like to chat with me today, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I was sent by Bob a wonderful story about a person's personal experience. Michael Josephson is the gentleman's name, and I like this so much, I thought it would be great to share it with you. Sarah Tukolsky, who is a petite softball player on Western Oregon University's team. She was playing in one of the biggest games of the year with Central Washington University. She's only about 5'2". And both of these teams were vying for the Division II NCAA playoffs. Now, Sarah, who was batting less than 200 all season, hit the ball over the fence with two runners on. That gets to be pretty exciting. Now, she had never hit a ball out of the park before, even when she had practiced. So you can imagine how thrilled she was to have had this accomplishment. Now, when she did the home run, she missed, as she was running around the diamond, she missed first base. And realizing this, she turned to go back, but ended up collapsing in absolute agony as her knee gave out. Now, her first base coach yelled that she had to crawl back to first base because if anyone on Sarah's team touched her, she'd be out and her home run would be nullified. Her coach encouraged her to try to crawl around the other bases to preserve her home run. But she just, it wasn't going to happen. Now, this is what occurred. The star player on the other team, her name, Mallory Holtman, asked the umpire if she and a teammate could carry Sarah around the bases. This was an unprecedented request, especially from an opponent who's fighting to be number one. However, the rules allowed it to happen. So without hesitation, once they were given the okay, Mallory and a shortstop, Liz Wallace, lifted Sarah and carried her, lowering her to touch each face with her good leg. These two young women carried this person from the opposing team around the entire diamond so she could have her home run. When Mallory was interviewed after the game was finished, she was asked, "Why in the world would you even consider that?" And this is what she said. "In the end, it's not about winning and losing so much. It was about this girl. She hit it over the fence, was in so much pain, and she deserved a home run." Well, Miss Mallory was right. It's common decency. And the comment that Michael Josephson made, he said, "Sadly, such kindness isn't common at all in sports, and that's why all the coaches, players, and spectators who were stunned by this spontaneous act of sportsmanship wept." And that's how Mallory Holtman became a national hero. Oh, and by the way, her team lost 4-2. But as Michael said, in everyone's eyes, when they watched this occur, there were no losers in that game. Everybody won. I had to share that with you. And again, I want to thank Bob for sending that along. And Michael Josephson, you did a wonderful job. I just love stories like that, and I hope you enjoyed it too. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I'm a good information resource, and I'd love to be able to help you out if you need it. 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-815-9756, and 530-876-3222. Well, we've got a holiday weekend coming up, Memorial Day weekend, and I know so many of you are out and about, and maybe this is going to be a long vacation weekend for you. Well, I want you to know on Monday we're going to be here live on the Donna Sebo Show, and Dr. Richard Petty is going to be my guest. We are going to be talking about healing, meaning, and purpose. This man is so knowledgeable, being well-educated. He's also informative. You must go to his blog and check it out because he has all this updated information on wellness, procedures, all kinds of things. And you can go to richardgpetty.com. And you will find, just type that into Google or whatever, and you'll find good, lots of information popping up. So he's going to be with us on Monday. And on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about medicine dance. We're going to be discussing the Native American culture. Marcia Scarborough is going to be my guest. Wednesday, if you have diabetes or know of someone who is afflicted with this disorder, I think you'll be interested in my guest that day, 16 myths of about the diabetic diet. And Karen Chalmers is going to be my guest. Then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Kathleen Fillmore about the six-figure speaker. If you've ever yearned to be up front, make a living as a speaker, or you want to know what you can do, if you're interested and perhaps you just feel like too many doors have been slammed in your face, well, Kathleen has got some wonderful insights in her book. And then we're going to close out next week with Rose Trace. And her book, Cut Cords of Attachment. How many times do we feel like we're stuck? We're locked into relationships or conditions, and we don't know how to break away from them. Maybe it's a habit of some kind. Well, Rose is going to be able to give us insight into that. So we have a delightful, delightful array of subject matter next week, and it just goes on and on. You know, I have got so much material about greenhouses coming in, the environment, business. We've got some terrific guests, even UFOs. We're going to be talking about those in some upcoming shows. So if you want to know what's going on and who's going to be appearing as a guest, then go to bbsradio.com. There's always going to be a listing for each month and the guests that are there. And also you'll get the information in my email newsletter. So if you want to be able to get in touch with me, check that out. And you'll find the listing there. And if you'd like to be on my email newsletter list, just send me an email, and I'll be sure to add you to the few thousand people that I have, and you'll get your monthly copy. And, of course, that's all free. And check in at my website. If you just want to see what the newsletter has to say, you don't want to receive emails, then you can go right into my website, DelphiInternational.com, and you'll find out just about everything that you need to know. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Don't you go away now. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I wanted to share some information with you about modified cars. And this grabbed my attention because we maybe want to make some adjustments to our vehicle, but we don't realize that maybe there's going to be a disadvantage to doing so. And these modifications, lots of times I'd say people want to do them because it really makes a statement. But the wow factor of these modifications sometimes come at the expense of safety. Now, this is the information that I was given. Car manufacturers spend millions on design and testing to ensure that your automobile safety systems are going to work together flawlessly before it hits the showroom floor. Now, aftermarket replacement that can change a vehicle's height, wheel weight, and engine performance compromise the engineering. And sometimes it's caused some real bad results. Now, if you're out shopping and you see a modified vehicle and you just go, wow, this is so cool, you might want to think about this before you purchase it. And here are the points of information. Edmunds.com recently asked some auto industry experts to comment on big wheel safety. Now, this is about big wheel, low-profile tires. And this is what they said. Low-profile tires allow the jostle of a rough road to pass on to the chassis. You can hit a pothole and flatten a tire, bend a rim, or even damage the suspension. Handling during evasive maneuvers becomes very unpredictable. The added wheel weight impacts acceleration, braking, and traction and results in extra wear and tear on both the tires as well as the brakes. Changing wheel height throws off onboard computers. Now, this I would never have expected would happen, but it throws off onboard computers, including speedometers, anti-lock brakes, and stability control. Then, high-rise trucks, there was a study done by the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators, pegged the jacked-up trucks as unstable, difficult to brake, and prone to rollovers. When they did braking tests, the modified Ford F-150 rolled over 40% of the time compared with 10 to 20% for an unmodified version. Braking performance plummeted 20 to 25%. High-rise trucks' bumpers make them very dangerous in crashes with standard passenger cars because they override rather than align with car bumpers, causing extensive body damage. Also, their higher taillights can blind both oncoming vehicles and drivers in front of them, with glare that's 10 to 20 times worse than recommended levels. Tinted windows. And this has always been a big one with me. What they do is they reduce the visible light transmitted through a car's windows, of course, tinting film significantly to block the sun's heat and damaging UV rays. And that's all in the positive. However, on the not-so-positive, they make it harder for drivers to see, especially at night. And just as important, other people can't see in, including police officers, pedestrians, and bicyclists who often need to make eye contact to understand the driver's intentions. I'll say, even as a driver, it's tough. Whereas most of the time when people have clear windshields, if you've got somebody that's talking on a cell phone, you automatically are on alert because you know that person isn't necessarily paying attention to what they're doing because they're busy on the cell phone. So with darkened windows, you don't know what's going on. You cannot see at all. So you really have to be very cautious when you're driving. And if someone goes through a stop sign, which we've got a spot in our own neighborhood, and that happened a couple of times, more than once, actually, more than just a couple, but people will go past the stop sign before they even stop. Well, if you have somebody with darkened windows, that it happened on this one day with me, you have to stop because you don't know whether they're going to be continuing on. You have to really be very defensive when you drive. Now, if you have questions about the safety of a modified vehicle that you or maybe members of your family might be interested in buying, visit a manufacturer certified mechanic to discuss its roadworthiness. And just really talk to your insurance agent, because a modified vehicle may cost more to insure, and some of them that are modified are not eligible for insurance. And I was unaware that they might not be eligible. So this is something you might to be willing to invest in yourself. Just think about that and think about the safety factor and is it really worth doing what you do. Donna Sebo here. I know we only have a few minutes left, and I wanted to just say, don't forget, when you want to, if you miss a show, you can always come back and you can always listen to it on the archives. We at BBS make sure that the programs are archived within a very short period of time, and you will be able to listen to them at whatever is comfortable for you. So you don't have to miss one of the shows or one of the interesting people that we have on the air. Also, if you have suggestions and you have special stories, just like Deb did today and also Bob, I would love to have you send them to me at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And it's just real easy. Just forward them to me, and if I can use them on the air, I will do that. Quickly, I had another item that came through to me, which I really liked, and it's about your car keys used as an alarm. And there was a friend, Gary, that sent this to someone that I know, and they said, a friend sent me this email with an excellent safety tip for anyone who owns a car with a car alarm that can be activated by pressing a button on a keychain fob. So what you do, you put your keys by your bedside at night. If you put your car keys beside your bedside at night, if you hear a noise outside your home or someone trying to get into your house, if you press the panic button for your car, the alarm will be set off and the horn will continue to sound until either you turn it off or the car battery dies. Now, this came as a tip from a neighborhood watch coordinator. Just remember, this is a security alarm system that you already have. It requires no installation. Test it. It'll go off from most everywhere inside your home, and it'll keep honking until your battery runs down or until you reset it with a button on your keychain. It works if you park in your driveway or garage. If your alarm goes off when someone is trying to break in, whatever's going on won't stick around. So if you carry your keys while you're walking to your car in a parking lot, you can use the alarm system the same way. This is something that really should be shared with everyone. It could also be useful for an emergency like a heart attack when you can't reach a phone. It'll attract people's attention. So a friend of theirs suggested to her husband he carry his car keys with him in case he fell outside and she wouldn't hear him. He could activate the car alarm and then she'll know there's a problem. I love this. It's great information. This is a wonderful time for you to celebrate and enjoy family, friends. Memorial Day weekend is always a dynamic weekend. Just remember to be safe, be thoughtful. It's a great time to shop. It's a great time to just have time to relax, a little bit of that tea bliss we were discussing earlier in the hour. This is Donna Seabold. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Yes, summer's just around the corner. This holiday weekend, enjoy wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And I look forward to being with you this coming Monday, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. We are going to look forward to, well, so many other good things. And enjoy that cup of tea. Make a pot, brew, just take your time for yourself. After all, isn't that what holidays are all about? This is Donna Seabold. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Seabold Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Seabold Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, this is Mark.